Let's contemplate something of the Prophet, alhamdulillah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I think I'll read from Sheikh Noor, because he's always illuminating. This is the Sheikh who received the transmission from Sheikh Musaffer Effendi, who came from Istanbul and came to the West and then made a very powerful linkage here. And something very precious came to me the other day, actually, speaking with a dervish, and it sort of unveiled another layer of the whole mystery of our silsila and the way it's come into the West and what the how it can flower here too, you know. So I was led to see that Hazreti Pir, Rahmatullah Alayh, was blessed with the 28 names, as we know. So what does that mean, you know? And so the 28 names, it's said to be, you know, the ultimate of the return, the completion, really, of, you might say, the revelatory path. Because it says, just as the Quran is the completion of revelation and contains all the books, so in like manner, the 28 names are the completion, you can say, of the tariqas, and this is why Pir Nur Din is called the Khatam al-Mushtaideen, is called the seal of those who are given permission. The Mushtaideen in that case is called permission. And permission for what? Permission to give a path. It's not permission to do what you want to do. That's a very different permission. These are divine permissions. So it's to manifest a further level and a further expanse of the divine light and the divine mercy and all of all the divine names of beauty and mercy. So the 28 in that sense is also, you might say, the final kind of revelation of Quran, of the Quranic return. Obviously, the Quran is never completely revealed. I mean, every human being that comes, every being that comes will be a further tafsir, a further facet of the Holy Quran. But in the sense of the path of return. So that's what makes this such a powerful path. Because it is like the Quran in that sense. It contains all the divine essences in the 28. As we know, 28, there are 28 letters in the Arabic alphabet. There are 28 days of the month. So the 28 is a complete cycle. And how that comes now to the West and to be in Sheikh Noor is very interesting. Because Sheikh Noor, his own preparation had been to study all these, you know, sacred traditions, to really plunge into them, not only scholarly study, but to disciple and to embody them each in some way, in different ways. And he would, you know, when you'd see him in one tradition, he looked different. It was like, you know, sitting with him in the Zen context, it was hard to recognize him as the Sufi Sheikh, our Sufi Sheikh, or in another tradition. You know, very amazing how he embodied so much the light of that way and that path and that revelation. So, and so his expanse is great. I mean, Sheikh Noor, as we know, he's very much, his level was of Hakika Marifat. That was his spiritual level. You know, he didn't sometimes bother so much with little details, and he traced, you know, the big ways. And so consciousness, divine knowledge, and certainly love, you know, was at very much at the core of his life and his teachings, and how he behaved and who he gathered who was, you know, who he attracted, or who Allah attracted to him, through him. And so in him, so Sheikh Musafir was like this seed, as you said, that came from the East, bearing the entire tradition. I mean, he had the entire, he was itself, the Ottoman Empire was a late flowering of Sufism. It was almost like the last itself expression of the great Sufi civilizations of the East. And Sheikh Musafir was like its last child. We've spoken of this before, that part of its last, you might say, Insan Kamil, in a certain sense, not that there aren't many Insan Kamils, inshallah, over in the East, but the way he embodied the tradition was so exquisite and remarkable. And so this came to the West, but he was not a Westerner. He did not have either the language or the cultural forms. So, you know, who had that was Sheikh Nur. Mm. But he wasn't a Westerner as we think of a Westerner, just in the simple sense, oh, well, he's a Westerner, therefore he's this or that, as we know Westerners. No, he was a Westerner in the sense that his love of Christianity, his love of Hazrat Isa, his, you know, he was a Westerner in that sense of also the full spiritual and Gnostic tradition and of the West. And Gnostic, not in the sense of the Gnostics, but in the sense of gnosis, knowledge, and wisdom. And so he becomes this amazing vessel, perfect vessel, to embody this here. Therefore, his vision for universal Islam, as he called it, because he had the vision to see Islam as a universal tradition. He didn't see it just as simply another tradition among, he saw it really that the call of the Prophet Muhammad was to all the traditions, and that he represented them all. Again, being the inheritor of all the prophets, being the last of the prophets. So his vision is so encompassing, and therefore is both in its breadth, in its detail, but also in the light. So he saw the essence of all traditions in, you know, in the light, through the divine light, forming them all and imbuing them all, and then calling, therefore, every human being. So the broader the expanse, the more people you're going to gather. If you have like a narrow path, you're going to gather a few people who kind of resonate with that particular point of view. If you're very broad, then you can call all humanity. So this is what the Prophet, peace be upon him, was sent for, to call all humanity and all people, all creatures. Call Allah's family. He was sent to all of Allah's family. And Sheikh Nur is an amazing mirror of this, an amazing, I would say, continuation of that light now reaching into the West. So therefore, there is solution. The Prophet brings solution to dilemmas. This is one of his mercies to humanity. You know, so where people can't understand each other because the traditions are different or they have different perspectives. So solution has come. And Sheikh Nur has brought that through understanding, you know, the essential nature of all the traditions, seeing it as the divine light. And he has serious studies he's done on that through the Gaudapada. I mean, it's in the form of the Gaudapada, but really it's applicable to all the religious traditions. And it's really a way to form a new language to speak to each other and a new vision. This is a new vision. Atom from the sun of knowledge is a new vision that humanity has not had before. Yes, it existed, you know, of course, in the prophets, and of course, more in an inner sense, and some of the great mystics and saints had it. But now, maybe just it's the time, you know, that it can reach to everyone. This is available and applicable, and it's easy, and it's the easy path. That's, you know, in the easy path, in the sense, not that we don't have to strive, We still have to strive. But it's easy in the sense that ultimately there is solution and there's mercy that meets us. Allah runs to us through this as we make small steps. So, and we're embraced in the divine gratitude and shakur. So, alhamdulillah. So let's read something of Sheikh Noor. And, you know, he did this in, well, from the time he met Sheikh Musafir was in 1978. And he passed in November 1st, 1995. From Effendi's passing to Noor's passing. So in 10 years, you know, it's interesting. The number 10, you know, was kind of also a number of completion. Back to the one. So I was reading today, I happened to open to the Surah Yasin, which is amazing, because again, that gives also very much the mystic understanding of the Prophet. Let's see, Heart of the Holy Quran, it's 81. And it's not that, you know, some of these have been spoken before, and some not. I feel some, but some of what comes to him has not been spoken before. Of course, only Allah knows. We don't know, really. But Heart of the Holy Quran, unveiling Surah Yasin, verse 1. So verse 1 is Yasin. Two mystic letters from the boundless language of Allah reflect in the clear mirror of the Arabic Quran as Ya and Sin. By these radiant and resonant letters is the beloved Muhammad, upon him be peace, known among the countless palaces of the angelic realms, which surround the visible cosmos as a vast shining sea would surround a mustard seed. This Muhammad of light, known by the angels, is the first light, the transparent pillar of light, shining timelessly from the core of reality. This Mohammedan light is the very longing of the inconceivable essence, the hidden treasure to be revealed, to be known, to be loved. This metaphysical column of radiance is the supreme devotion of living light to the single source of light and life. Before the eternal angelic realms are created as flawless, gem-like worlds of praise, crystallizing deep within divine light, Muhammad, the principle and pillar of light, stands alone before his Lord. From the moment they are called into being, the angelic emissaries of divine light intuitively know through the letters Ya Sin, that prismatic first light from whom, through whom, and for whom they were created by Allah Most High. Ya Sin, Yasin, Yasin, they call continuously to the light of prophecy with the beautiful resonance of their dynamic play of light, created by Allah to be pure praise. Listen to these heavenly voices as they cry, may the supernal peace and blessing of the Supreme Source pour forth abundantly upon Yasin, our beloved light, generating him as the five-pointed golden star, the brilliant crown of creation, which is perfect humanity, the mysterious meeting place of divine essence and divine attributes in the sphere of organic creation. Yasin is the pen of universal intellect, by whom the Quran of the 18,000 universes is written on clear pages of light that chant themselves as temporality and eternity. Angels are created out of the primordial Mohammedan light, their magnificent praise springing forth from his own original and incomparable words of praise, La ilaha illallah, there is nothing apart from supreme reality. So too are human souls created from this beloved light. Affirmation of unity is our essential nature, the very light of knowledge and light of mercy, the very light of lights known as Yasin. We are the gracefully spreading rays of that first light, that Gnostic lightning flash, La ilaha illallah, We are microscopic rays of that vast light of guidance, Yasin, who has manifested through brilliant prophetic souls during human history, awakening billions of minds and hearts to the light and as the light. So with the angels, we can equally cry to him, our beloved light, Yasin, Yasin, Yasin. We call out not from the eternal angelic realms, which remain astonished by the mystical ascension through them of the Muhammad of Arabia, may peace be upon him. We call out from the blessed days of the fullness and completion of revelation. This ocean planet has now become one holy place of prayer, one mosque, its very dust, sanctified by the Mohammedan sandals that stood before the throne of mercy and touched the unapproachable ground of essence. During this era of Earth's history, we have been supremely privileged to witness the pre-eternal Muhammad, the principle of prophecy, becoming fully expressed at last as the seal of prophecy, the fragrant, beautiful, prayerful Muhammad of Arabia. We are complete. Therefore, we can sing with the rich tones of the Holy Quran, in which the wisdom and beauty of all prophets is conserved and fused. May the praise of Allah Most High and of His exalted angels be upon Muhammad, the perfection of humanity, worthy of the praise with which angels first praised the transcendental Adam. And may divine praise and divine good pleasure be directed as well to his beautiful family and to all his noble companions who will arise throughout history until the end of time. These lovers will reflect the light of his perfect humanity in the bright mirrors of their hearts, cleansed and sanctified by the way of universal Islam, the way that fully releases daily life into all embracing divine life. With the ecstatic cry, Yasin, 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 we have reached the glorious heart of the vast body of the Arabic Quran. The mother of books lifts her veil as a bride to her husband's gaze. Now we can contemplate perfect humanity as the face of supreme love. The light of Quran is the light of guidance, the original Muhammad of light, who later came to be known as Yasin to angels and finally to human lovers living in the completion of revelation. This Muhammadan light is the pulsating heart of Quran. The Muhammad of Arabia, the mercy of Allah to all the worlds, not only came bearing the glorious Quran, but is the glory of the Quran. He both received Quran and demonstrated Quran with his very being. His movements were Quran. His life in all detail was Quran and is Quran. His human face shone like a bright page of the Holy Quran, illuminated with pure gold. Thus the foreheads of his noble spiritual family, the true lovers, shine with precisely the same Quranic radiance and the mystic letters Ya and Sin. Lead us, O Yasin, through the central door of Surah Yasin to encounter the mysterious illumination of Yasin everywhere, through everyone, in every breath and every event of creation, which all reflect the beautiful divine names of Allah Most High. Yasin is the secret. Surah Yasin is the key to the secret. Glory to the Lord of the worlds. Amin, amin, alhamdulillah. Hi rabbil alameen. Fatiha. Allah. Hirma. Sali Allah. Sayyidina. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Sirat al-ladina an'amta alayhim. Ghayrul maghdubi alayhim waladdallin. Amin. Alhamdulillah. Ooh. So the secrets are given out. You know, what was before held in secrecy and that you could only receive maybe after years and years of discipleship, is now through the publishing of the saints now in the West. Before, these things were held more tightly in the tariqas, and then the tariqas themselves were the vessels and the paths. Now it's like opened, it's like the open book that Rumi speaks of. It's the open secret, truly. So what remains, you know? So we don't have to, the keys are given, the path is given. So, of course, to take the path, to transform, to be transformed, to become this light that we are, to manifest it and realize it. So it's simply this living together, this sharing the essences of each other's being, to live on earth with Adam. Adam becomes the holy wine because everything else is given. So this is what we need to manifest, is this sublime Adam of the Rasulullah, peace be upon him, and of all the prophetic beings, and of Allah Most High. Allah has the most sublime Adam, and Allah places that in these selected human beings to share it and to give it so that we can all have it and so that we can truly create this paradise. Paradise is Adam. That's what paradise is. So when we
explain Adab really quickly.
Well, Adab is, you know, it's on the simplest, most, what would you say, it's like manners or good manners, or I mean that's the most.
Yeah, but it's always a trouble as people think of etiquette books then, right?
No, of course.
Right, because it also means literature in Arabic and Persian. So it means a particular kind of refined and cultured ways of acting that are beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's better, much better. A particular refined ways of acting and being that are beautiful. So as the beauty, the refinement, has the light, has the delicacy, has the intimacy, the creativity, you know, and these are all things of Allah and of nearness to Allah. These are all aspects of being near to Allah. So if we can reflect this, if we can, you know, allow that refinement to take place in ourselves by, you know, holding back our, you know, the demons in ourselves, or the demon, and by, as Allah says, if you hold back on the worst, I will do the rest. And therefore allowing Allah to refine us and refine us through His beloved and through the beloveds and you know, through the mirrors of the beloveds that who are called the great saints and the friends of God and the prophets of Allah. And so then we can enter that state of paradise and we can truly live in a fully and manifest the 28 divine names, or manifest, you know, the 99 names, or all of the divine names. And then, you know, we become truly alive. That is true life. So without the refinement, you know, we are not complete. So for the refinement, we need to submit to the refinement. You know, you can't really polish yourself. The polishing comes when we submit, when we give ourselves to Allah, or when we say, Evola, you know, this is not easy, Evola. You know, someone offends me, Evola Allah. May it taste sweet because it comes from you. This is also, we need to have that knowledge, but that knowledge is given to us through the Quran, through the Rasul, through the saints, through the lineages, you know, that everything comes from Allah. Please.
How about dying before dying and Adab?
Yeah, they're hand in hand, of course, because the dying before dying is when we can really, so then we are no longer, you know, that act of submission, which you might call that dying, allowing ourselves to die, or giving ourselves, offering ourselves for that sacrifice of love, then we are no longer the separate. We have died to separation. You know, then it is Allah moving us. Then Allah becomes our hearing and our seeing and our grasping and our moving.
Because the whole polishing and all that gives a sense of self. It's much easier to listen.
Sure. The polishing is well, it's still the striving and the struggle, maybe. You know, we realize when we are polished that
struggle and dying, or
no, it's before. Maybe it's before the dying. You know, which we all know. We know those moments where, you know, it's difficult, but where we like have that almost like a choice, and the choice of to allow, you know, to say yes to this and not to react with anger or you know, being affronted or feeling, you know, all those, we know those very more instinctive and immediate reactions that can come forth. So if we can hold back, then the polishing takes place right there. So even in the sabur, even the patience, even in the restraining ourselves from allowing that instinctive, more kind of animalistic reaction to take place, that's a polishing right there. That's a great polishing, you know. So yes, there is polishing. And then if you're somehow, you know, the dying before dying doesn't just happen right away. We'd like it to. We'd like to say, you know, instantaneously. Okay. It's for some, it can. For Nuruddin Jarahi, he was in the zikr. It was his first time. He was 19 years old. And I think he truly died in that zikr. And he threw himself at his sheikh's feet, who became his sheikh then, Sheikh Ali Alauddin Qustandili, rahmatullah alayh. And he died. And then he, but I'm sure he had other deaths. There's not just one.
Because the before dying, it's very easy to let go of the egoic self, in a sense. And on the other hand, but when the self becomes very spiritual, in a spiritual sense, it could be a greater attachment to that.
True.
And then so, do we die ourselves? If we chose to die, everyone would let go of the self.
Right.
Who does the dying, really?
Right.
Whose action is...
Yes. Whose... Action.
Al-Mumit.
Al-Mumit.
The one who slays.
Al-Mumit.
That's the one who slays.
Yeah. Of course, we can, it's true. We can't die by ourselves. We can do nothing of ourselves.
Dying before dying is coming to a place of utter consciousness.
Yes. Alhamdulillah. Well, we really die all the time, but there is a... You know, that's one level anyway of our being. That's a natural level, let's say, completely in Allah's hand. Then there's the part where we do bring effort. You could say, as long as we have a dual kind of consciousness, we have to make effort. And then, you know, ourself, so-called. And then we can, when we lose that, of course, there's only the one, and we see who was doing it all. Did you want to say something else, Aliyah?
No, because the efforting...
Effort.
Efforting, it is there, we can't help it. But at the same time, my experience is an utter helplessness.
Yes.
And then the efforting is a paradox.
It's a paradox. It is a paradox.
Then mind can never...
Yeah. And you're, of course, you're right. I mean, we should even have that awareness of who's, you know... We're not the ones even making the effort. I mean, let's say that is a path in itself to God, to be completely conscious that we are not the doers, you know. I mean, there are many different paths, and that is one of them. It's a.
But that itself is a doer, not being a doer.
You know, well, then, you know, you get on your tiptoes to try to make no footprint, and then inshallah Allah lifts you up. At some point we are taken, you know.
Right.
We can only either throw ourselves at Allah's feet or just bear our, you know, and at some point we are taken. That's why Allah says, I take you from the fourth level on, it's me, you know. But we have we're given the impression, let's say, or the illusion that we make effort. And while we are in that kind of level of consciousness, we must make effort. And, you know, we know the difference ourselves when we make effort and don't make effort. Maybe it's even the effort to realize that it's not us making the effort, that this is purely Allah's grace. That's a wonderful path. Those who can simply say all the time, this is Allah's grace. I'm not doing anything here. I don't even have a path. I mean... Everything is from Allah's grace, you know. But if you can stay in that awareness, moment by moment, you know. Oh. So that's why, you know, la ilaha illallah. That's essentially also what.
Because Shaykhun said that, you know, do take your do your practices, but never count on it.
Never count on them, right. Yeah.
So that you don't count them because of your practices.
That's true.
You get somewhere.
Yeah. No, that's true. I mean, that's a very important teaching, not to rely on anything
exactly
we do. Absolutely. And, you know, therefore a great soul like Rabbi Adawiya, with all the prayers and zikr and life of total dedication and devotion and love, would say, I don't know what my destiny is. I don't know if I'm going to paradise or the fire. You know, so...
Because the lion gives a sense of...
Give
a sense of always being for the next moment.
Always what?
Always like almost proceeding.
Right.
What's the next
You're
moment?
Not in the moment itself.
What's the next
You're,
moment?
Yeah.
And everybody wants to be in the moment. But
yeah.
Actually, somebody can get out of the moment.
Yeah. Or maybe you're in the past moment. You're in, oh, I did all that tesbi. I feel, you know, Allah's going to make it, you know, easy for me. No, we can't rely on anything. But we can rely on Allah's mercy. And I stress often. We cannot rely on our own actions or our own state. But we must rely completely on Allah's mercy. So we can rely on something, you know. We're not just suspended out there in you know, the vastness of beingness. No, there's that guidedness, there's that linkage, there's that love that makes the bond that, you know, yeah. But alhamdulillah, good.